Welcome to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. I'm Beth Shank, long-term host of the podcast, and our episode host this month is Tom Engel, nurse and former board chair of ANNIE. Today we hear about inner workings at the Alliance and an exciting new development, the creation of regional forums to include more nurses, more specifically in their area of the nation. Tom is joined by Hannah Knoll, Sarah Busich, and Jason Kirchick. Enjoy.
So welcome to the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. It's the end of June, and we're going to talk with Hannah and Sarah and Jason about the regional project within ANNIE. And see where we go with that. But I'm going to let each of you do your introductions. I'm Tom Engel. I'm in Oregon. I'm a former psychiatric and public health nurse. And welcome this morning. Sarah, can you do a little introduction for us?
Sure. Absolutely. I'm Sarah Busich. I am a policy analyst with the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments. I've been a nurse since 2001, and I also was a psych nurse for many years. And I've been interested in environmental health for at least 15 or 16 years. So thanks so much for inviting me today.
Hannah.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me. I am Hannah Knoll. I use she, her pronouns. I am the Director of Member Engagement and Professional Education here with the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments, which you'll hear us saying ANNIE a lot. I have been a nurse for about 15 years. I did a lot of different types of nursing. I did some work in the emergency department, school nursing, cardiac nursing, research nursing. My passion is really out in the community, and before our community members, families, patients get to the hospital. Thanks for having me.
And Jason.
So excited to be on the ANNIE podcast, Tom. Thank you for having me. I am excited to be back with Hannah. I was an original fellow with ANNIE, so great to be here. I'm Jason Kirchick. I'm an oncology nurse and a nurse and health policy advocate.
So we're going to talk about the regional programs, but I got to tell you, I want to hear about Paraquat, and we can walk back the cat after we hear about Paraquat. And I admit that I thought Paraquat was gone. I'm back with Ronald Reagan in the 80s and spraying marijuana fields and spraying Mexico. And then I understand that you've banned Paraquat there in Vermont, and I had no idea it was left to ban. So Jason, could you tell us a little bit about that Paraquat?
Sure. So Paraquat is a herbicide that's used agriculturally by a lot of farmers. They're in Vermont, they're used on apple crops and strawberries. So, common foods that people have access to. And there's been a very strong correlation with Paraquat to Parkinson's disease and cancers as well. And so this has been an herbicide that's been banned in over 70 countries, but not banned here in the United States. And so Vermont, so excited we became a first in the nation ban on Paraquat, but after hearing so many stories of farmers whose lives have been impacted by this herbicide, we're really starting to see some momentum and attention to this. And in working in concert with the Michael J. Fox Parkinson's Foundation, really starting to get some momentum to banning this herbicide.
Could you tell us a little bit about the process of getting it banned? I mean, to be fair, I admit that when I think of Vermont, I think there's probably only five people that live there, but I know that's not true. So could you tell us a little bit about the process to get that to happen?
Sure. So we were very fortunate. We had some state representatives and senators who introduced this legislation. And as with anything, a bill is introduced, and then it really depends on what bills are getting the most bandwidth at the time and the most recognition. And that really starts to happen at the constituency level. And as a nurse and health policy advocate, I'm constantly trying to include colleagues, especially in health policy issues such as paraquat, to give their voices, especially when our patients, people within our community are being so impacted, and we're seeing such strong correlation of farmers who are using this and getting diagnosed, and they weren't properly informed or didn't have that sort of background information as to that type of exposure could lead to such, a harmful neurological disease. It really starts to get momentum when you're constantly calling and putting pressure on your state legislators. And that's when you start to see policy change happen and take effect, because now their ears are open. Their staffers are hearing from this. There are op-eds. There may be editorials that are being written, podcasts, and people start listening. And when you start gaining more and more attention, it really leads to ensuring that an issue is going to move ahead. And it starts to move through different committees. You offer oral testimony, written testimony, and this was really a grassroots effort to get this ban passed.
Did nurses get involved specifically in this in Vermont?
Absolutely. I pulled from every nurse coalition that I have built in my time in Vermont. And really, I'm a legislative liaison for our Oncology Nursing Society. I help support nurses. I'm a chief steward for our union, ANA Vermont. I've been a board member, an active member. And so an APHA and Annie are regional nurses who are in Vermont as well. So you start building a coalition. And once you get the information out there, the action links, call your state representative, legislators, you start to build that coalition, and more people are hearing from their constituents and taking on the issue. And that's really how this started to gain some really big momentum.
Well, impressive. I have to admit, a few years ago, I was in some meeting or other, maybe 20 years ago, and I made a comment with a bunch of people. I said, "Well, I remember when we used to boycott Nestle because of what it was doing worldwide." And this voice from the back of the room, this woman said, "We still are boycotting." So I'm glad to be reinformed about Paraquat. I had no idea. So thank you for all that work. Can I ask one of the three of you, or maybe all of you, to talk about what the process was for Annie and the program that then connected with Jason around the regional project, specifically with Jason in Vermont and maybe that region, and then we can expand and talk about the regional program across the United States. But are there some gems within how that went with Annie and Vermont?
Yeah, I'm happy to answer that. So, Annie, we work a lot on federal issues, and we try to support our state, level, nurses. But when somebody like Jason, who's already involved in an issue, who's, comes to us and says, this is happening, and can provide us with, what's happening on the ground, we can really do a lot more action. Because we're not, in Vermont, I'm not in Vermont. We really rely on those who are in the states to know what's happening on the ground. So when Jason came to us and provided us, with who we needed to reach out to, and talking points, we were really able to take action. But that's largely because of nurses who are already on the ground, who are doing the legwork and talking to legislators in person or, giving testimony.
Hannah, let me ask you about the regional gig.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, in terms of moving towards regional focused work, you know, everything going on in the world right now, we're seeing a lot of federal progress being halted, environmental regulations being rolled back, and people are realizing that while it feels like there's not a lot of control at the federal level right now, they do have power and influence at what laws and regulations are being passed, whether that's in their city councils, on their town boards, or their school boards, or even, you know, in their state legislature, like Jason has provided example of. And what happens at the local level is often the first step for state policy. So one state like Vermont passes something, or California passes something, and then, you know, other states tend to follow suit. And eventually, you know, that first state or that first town ends up being the little snowball that started federal policy change. You know, passing strong protective regulations at the local level, it can feel really empowering. I mean, like, you know, as Jason did in Vermont, you know, that feels, it makes it feel possible. I remember, excuse me, when I, during the past spring in South Carolina, where I live, I was born and raised in the Midwest, now live in right outside of Charleston, South Carolina. Women and advocates from all over the state came together in opposition of the total abortion bill being proposed in the Senate. The bill was eventually stalled, so there's more work to do, absolutely. But in participating in those advocacy efforts, you know, I made friends. I felt part of a community of people who are geographically close to me and also aligned with my values, which, as a queer neurodivergent woman in the South, it has historically not felt always easy. So people want a sense of community. And here at Annie, this is where we started the regional forums. Honestly, to put it simply, our members were asking for it. They've been asking for, you know, state chapters or a way to connect with nurses in their states, or where they live. They wanted to feel that sense of community and empowerment. And I think in our current The current time that we're in, that need and that passion and that drive for sense of community is really strong.
Jason, you must be part of a region. I would guess that region is New Hampshire, Maine, and probably somebody else. That's about the extent of my knowledge of the map. So are how is the regional thing working from your from a local perspective?
Well, so I'm part of the New England region, and I think that what that has enabled us to do is to start to build coalitions within nursing and healthcare. And, you know, just to echo what Sarah and Hannah said, I think that when, take Vermont, for instance, we're the first in the nation paraquat ban. That has portability, and it also creates some competitive pressure and generate some press. And so that sort of policy win spreads horizontally. And that's when you start to impact and have other states that can start building more coalitions and passing bans. And then it reaches a federal level as well. So, you know, that's really something that's so important for listeners to understand is that a local win can spread and gain momentum. And I think that getting back to your question about how the New England, you know, forum has helped, again, it's connected me with nurses who are trying to fight these same legislative issues and working together. I worked with Adrian Wald, who's in New York. New York introduced a paraquat ban. They weren't able to get it passed, but we're going to pick it up again next legislative session. Now, with a Vermont win behind us. And so she and I have been working on op-eds and different articles together and writing. And so it just leads to this sort of collective work And that's what's so wonderful about being part of the forums and just, our Annie in general.
Let me ask you, I want to say this carefully and with affection, but we're fond of saying that form follows function, and I believe that isn't true. Actually, form follows failure, and it's failures that lead to improvement, whether we're tracking the evolution of looms over a few hundred years that did weaving, whether evolution of from a knife to a fork, paper clips. Form follows failure, and it's failures that keep us moving ahead and improving things. So, as you think about the regional gig across the country, the three of you, what are the one or two things that have so far been hard to solve with respect to the regions? And I'm asking that again, and I'm trying to make the question long so you can think. I'm asking that question with affection because we want people who sign up for the regions to know that it's not always easy, which we make it sound sometimes. And so I'm asking for kind of some of the hard throws with forming the regional stuff. And if the three of you don't have a comment on that's fine too. But I'm sort of curious if you might, because form follows failure, not function.
I'll take a stab at that. So, I'll just tell you. So, when I look at the regional forums, I think it's really cool because if you look at, a certain area, let's just say like the Southwest or the, Northwest, like the Pacific, you'll have, states that are passing a lot. I work a lot on toxics at Annie, toxic chemicals and things of that nature. If you look at some of the regions, some of them have states that are incredibly active, and they're in the same region as a state that is maybe a red state that is not active. And so I think one of the opportunities of the regional forum is having those groups in the same region kind of allows them to see what's happening next door, what's happening in the state right next to me. We share maybe the same watershed, we share, you share something with the states next to you. So even if you're in a big state, so these regional forums allow nurses to see what nurses in the next state over are doing. And it's my hope, and I think I've already seen conversations happening among nurses, nurses in a state next to another state that's really progressive, and they're able to kind of see like, oh, these are things we could do here. Because one of the cool things about environmental health is it's health focused. So even if your state, isn't, saying, we do climate change and we have all these policies, we know that nurses talking about extreme heat and, compromised drinking water, that those things still resonate with policymakers. So I think that's one of the real beauties of the regional forums is kind of those different states combining and hopefully learning from each other.
I'll follow up in terms of, I'm thinking about logistics, honestly. Annie is, I think, 17, 18 years old. Now, when Annie started, we created four topic-based forums. We have an education forum, a policy forum, a research forum, and a practice forum. Those now are into the hundreds of memberships. And I say hundreds, maybe 100, maybe 200. And again, we're 18 years old now. We just started the regional based forums. They're still growing. Not every, some forums include a lot of states. Sarah mentioned the Pacific Northwest. I mean, I think we have 10 states in that forum and one forum organizer. And those forum organizers, they receive a small stipend for this work, but they do it because they're passionate about building that community. And they're also likely, most of them, full-time nurses in the real world. And so this is a passion project. And, some forums, they're not all doing the same thing. Some are having meetings monthly. Our Northeast Forum with Adrian that Jason mentioned, they're meeting a lot and they have a lot of backing behind them. Some are just moving slower. And so I think It's logistics, it's time, it's we gotta build momentum, and we're still working on it. It's trial and error. Some things have worked, and others we're still working on.
Well, there's the good stuff, and then there's the other stuff. The edge. Jason, how does the logistics seem to be working in the in your forum?
I mean, you get the communication and you respond when there are things that have an ask, or there are topics that you feel that you can contribute to. And I would say that, maybe to what you said, form follows failure. There's no real failure. It's building, right? We're building a coalition. It takes time. And I think it's when you have active members who are within the forum, it starts to build a little bit more momentum. And so I think, Annie is building that clearly. And I've certainly have been reached out by, the forum organizer, and I have peers who I know who are part of the forum. And again, it's, from my perspective, works well because I'm being connected with my colleagues and peers and also learning of issues that are important for me to advocate for. So from that perspective, it's working well.
Take your learning further with our online platform dedicated to climate, health, and nursing. From webinars to courses, the Learning Site is designed to help you grow as a leader in environmental health. Start exploring at learning.environ.org.
I was just going to say, Sarah, this might be a great time to talk about, this past year, how we've had some funding to focus on some states. And, the timing put some pressure on us to get nurses involved in those states. And so that could, although I don't classify that as a failure, but maybe this is a good time to introduce what our plans are for the fall and for next legislative sessions. I'd love to hear from you on that.
Sure. Yeah. So over the last year, we've received some funding to work on some state level toxics work. We've been partnering with groups like Safer States. And one of the things that's really come up is, during the legislative session, which really tends to be active from, about January through June, July, August, some states go all year round, but most of them don't. A lot of times the way legislation works, like when Jason was running his bill, if you need to find a nurse, to testify, it's a learning curve. Toxics is not something that people just, are ready to talk about and, ready to necessarily field questions. Nurses know their own experience though. And so I think one of the things that Hannah and I have really been thinking about doing with combining some of the state level toxics work and the regional forums is getting nurses, prepared to speak about these things. So this fall, we're looking at doing a regional forum toxics roadshow where we hope to have a webinar for each regional forum to kind of talk about what's happening in your region, what are possible policies that might be coming up, and where can you fit in, and what would that look like? I think as when policy's happening, it's already kind of it's very difficult for a nurse to just jump in and give testimony. But we hope that, having these webinars in the fall kind of gets people thinking, well, if a bill comes up in my state about PFAS this coming January or February, what can I say? What have I seen in my practice? Not having to know all of the answers about PFAS, but knowing like you've received questions about this from your patients and you can speak to the concerns of your community and your patients. And so really trying to get nurses comfortable with those kind of topics and being able to engage with policy. Almost all the states I've seen so far have the ability to do, virtual testimony, definitely written testimony. We, nurses can always do op-eds, and the nursing voice is so powerful. I mean, for more than a quarter century, we've been, the most trusted voice. And there's a reason for that, because people know that, what we're bearing witness to what's happening in real time. We're seeing people come in who are having experiences with paraquat, or having experiences with PFAS being found in their drinking water, and now they have to get a blood test and figure out what to do next. So we're hoping that this fall really kind of amplifies all these opportunities that exist at the state level. And I'm not sure if I covered everything, but
That
I'm
was
really excited about
perfect.
the fall.
Well, you covered a lot. I don't know if that's everything, but that's a lot. So a lot is good. So if a nurse falls into seeing this or falls into hearing about what how do they sign up for or connect with the region, and is it the same across all of the regions, or is it vary from region to region how you even sign up for it in some way? And I say this with affection again, because I only know about my region and what I see with that one. I really have no idea how it works in another area.
Absolutely. So I would recommend heading over to our website, envirn.org. On that site, you can click join us. We are a free membership. We are an international organization supporting over 10,000 nurses in the United States and globally. So joining us will simply get you on, in that large community of what Annie is doing, all of our different programs, our fellowship, our, events that we have. We're hosting a virtual conference next spring. And then also you can head over to forums. There's a little tab on the top that says forums, regional forums. Click on yours and click join us there. That gets you directly into that forum. There's also, if you join us on the large, in our large membership, we will be reaching out a lot, and sharing how to join and who to connect to, and sharing stories about nurses like Jason who are doing things in their states and how to contact them, how to get involved.
Well, I think I know that there are something like 500,000 elected officials in the United States. So there are plenty of places for all of us nurses to get involved, whether it's the school board down the street or the local road district, or it seems like I got a zillion here in Oregon. I don't know what it's like in other states. We got a lot. But that's a lot of elected officials. And because this happens to be an even year, something like well over 80% of them are on the ballot in November. If they weren't on a ballot in the spring, because they passed in the spring, there's some who may not be on the ballot in November because they've got a majority in some places. But anyway, it's a lot of people up for election, and a lot of places to talk about important issues.
So one thing I'll piggyback on, I'm one of those elected officials. I will be on the November ballot for the sixth time as Justice of the Peace in my community, helping people sign up and register to vote. And I really got involved in that process when I started to learn how impactful nurses can be when they lend their voices. And the last thing I just want to say to share sort of what Sarah said is that you don't need to be the expert in the room. My grandfather had this saying on his wall for years. It came from the Depression era, and it said something to the effect of, if someone asks you to do a job, say yes and learn how to do it real fast. And so with the paraquat legislation, someone just knew that I was a nurse and health policy advocate. They reached out and said, we need some oral and written testimony. Can you talk about this? And because of the access I have with Annie and my colleagues in the New England Forum, and just reaching out and learning on my own, we know research, we know how to synthesize information as nurses. I learned so much. And then I was really able to connect with people whose lives were impacted by paraquat, and I was able to lend that voice. So I just, for me, the most important thing I want my colleagues and peers to know, you don't need to be the expert in the room. because you have the foundation, you have the knowledge and the tools to get the resources you need to talk on these issues and help lead the way to pass legislative efforts.
You're on my hero list that you're running for office all the time too. You're on my hero list. So that's great. Thank you for joining us today. And just to remind people, they can always go to the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments and Google that and end up at the website, or they can do www.envirn.org. So thank you, everybody, for this morning.
Thank you to Tom, Hannah, Sarah, and Jason. It's great to hear how each are involved, and the regional forums really sound valuable. I hope everyone can take advantage of them. And thank you all for listening to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast, which is 100% non-commercial. Please share with your nursing colleagues, family, and friends. Thank you. Talk to you next time.